So we want to start out this morning, and we know that as believers, and we're talking to the believer, the sinner hasn't can't come to this recognition yet. But as believers, we know that it's only by the saving grace of God that allows us to put away this mindfulness of the world. So what do I mean by this mindfulness of the world? I'm talking about all the things that go on around us in the world today. And the reason that God wants us to put those things aside or put those things away is because He wants to always bring us into the remembrance of His mercy, of His grace, of His love, the things that He has in store for us in our life. And we can only do this, the Bible tells us, if we put these things away and we begin to cast all of our cares upon Him. And if you go over into 1 Peter, let's just go there and read that verse where he talks about that over in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 6, here's what he says. He says, "Humble yourselves." So that's the first thing, that humility, and we're talking about spiritual humility, where we're always in reverence to God. And he says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time," meaning in His time. Everything that God wants to do in your life, everything that God wants to do in my life, He has a time for that, and His time is a perfect timing, other than when we want to try to do things, it's not a perfect timing. So we follow after God's time, and He says that in order to be able to do this, then we have to cast all your cares upon Him. Meaning we have to put those things aside. We have to set those things aside. We gave all those things to Him when we accepted Him as our Savior. So He says now we've got to put those things aside. He said, cast all your care upon Him. But those things in the world, they don't care about you. Only God cares about you. Because He said, for He cares for you. So what does that mean when he says to cast all those cares upon Him? Well, He knows that we have these things going on in our life. So that means as a believer, He knows we're going to be tempted. We're going to have heartache. We're going to have sorrows. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. But He does not, pay attention, He does not want these things to have fulfillment in our lives. He does not want us to look to those things as being those things that fulfill our lives. He wants us to continually look to Him. So that means we have to willingly submit to the authority of God, and we have to acknowledge that He has control, complete control over everything in our life, and He will do it, and He does it according in His own time. And in His own time, He will help us to accept that in our life. And He'll help us to accept it by helping us to be humble, by helping us to trust in Him, by helping us to have patience as we look and we listen to the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And then we'll begin to recognize that all of these heartaches, all of these sorrows, all these trials and tribulations, all these things that are going on around us, we'll begin to recognize that they are all a part of His plan for our spiritual growth. Did you get that? A part of His plan for our spiritual growth. So every day, this is a call unto us to have complete faith and complete trust in God. So this is what He wants us to be. So we want to find out, what does it mean to be complete in God? So if you'll turn with me to the book of Philippians, we're going to start there in the book of Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to go look at a few other verses. But in chapter 1, starting with verse 1, and this is Paul wrote this to the church of Philippi, and it said, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. See, what did he start out with? So we recognize ourselves, like Paul and like Timothy, we have to recognize ourselves as servants of the Lord. He says, as servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints that are in Christ Jesus. So he didn't leave nobody out. Everybody that is within the body of Christ, everybody who says, I have accepted, I'm born again, I'm part of this saving grace, he said, to all those that are in Christ Jesus, those at Philippi, the bishops, the deacons, nobody is left out. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, he says, I thank my God every day that I get to remember you, that you're in my prayers, that I'm thinking about you, and I know that you're thinking about me. So he says, I thank God for this, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel. So this is how, see this morning we're not all together, but we are all together because we are fellowshipping in the gospel, in the word of God. So this connects us. This is what brings us together. As we fellowship in the gospel, in the word of God, he says, from the first day until now. And here's what he said. This gives me confidence. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you and in me, he will continue to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, meaning until we go on to be with the Lord. So he said, this is where my confidence lies, that God has started this, God is working in me, God is going to continue to work in me, and this will continue to go on every day that I live my life down here up on this earth. So what do we see as we look at this passage of Scripture? We see spiritual encouragement, and we know that as believers, we need spiritual encouragement to continue on in our life doing the things that God has for us to do. So what does spiritual encouragement do for us in our life? Well, one thing it does is it prompts us, it shows us, it allows us to know for sure, without a doubt, that we are not alone. I don't care if you're sitting in your house right now by yourself, you are not alone because God is with you. This is part of that spiritual encouragement. Another thing that it does is it strengthens our faith. And what does it strengthen our faith in? It strengthens our faith in the promises and the commandments of God's word. That's why it's very important to fellowship in the gospel. Now, we fellowship all other kinds of ways. We get on the phone. We gossip to one another. Did you see what so-and-so down the road's doing? But we're fellowshipping in the God. We don't have to talk to one another to fellowship in the gospel, because now our fellowship through the gospel, which is Christ Jesus, is going up to God. It's through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is making sure that communication gets out to everybody within the body of Christ. So we're fellowshipping in the gospel of Christ. So the next thing that it does, it says it inspires us. It inspires us to live by Christ, through Christ, doing the work of Christ. Every day we're doing those things that Christ has for us to do in our life, and it is a constant reminder that if nobody else in the world sees you, if nobody else in the world values you, God does. God values everything that you do for him in your life. So that's because He's the one that gives us life. He's the one that sustains our life, both physically and spiritually. He is the bread of life, we're told. So this bread of life provides unto us the eternal satisfaction that we need, both spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. God keeps us restored in Him. It leads to a lasting fulfillment in the things that He has for us to do. It gives us, as believers, it gives us meaning, it gives us purpose in our life. So that means it is the only thing that can truly satisfy us. It is the most fundamental need of our soul is to have this spiritual satisfaction in our life. Everybody wants meaning. Everybody wants purpose in our life. God gives that to us, and He lets us know that we will never, ever, ever be alone in our life. He says, be confident in this. Be confident in this very thing, because God started this work within you. He's going to continue this work within you, and you'll be doing it when the Lord comes to either take us away as individuals or the church as a whole. So we're going to look this morning at three characteristics, the three things that the Bible tells you. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians to see these three things. Three things that the Bible tells us that are characteristics of how we are going to be complete in God, or complete in our salvation. So if you'll go to 1 Corinthians with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to read verse 13, and these are very familiar, and I'm going to give you these three characteristics. And he says, now abideth, what? Faith, hope, my Bible says charity, your Bible says love, but charity means love. These three, and it says the greatest of these is love. So these three characteristics are essential to our values, our moral values, our righteous values, our spiritual values in God. He says these characteristics are essential for this in our life. The reason that he says this is because once we've accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, then these things have become permanent in our life. And they're permanent because they're vital. We cannot live a spiritual life in God without these three characteristics. So that means that they have an intended outcome on our life. Everything that we do should show one or all of these three characteristics. So that means that we've got to continue to grow in them. And how are we going to grow in them? We're going to do it through prayer. We're going to do it through study. We're going to do it through meditation in God's Word. Because not only are we going to grow in them here, but we're going to continue to grow in them throughout all of eternity with God. So these aren't worldly feelings that you're having. They're not worldly emotions that you're having. I know if you look at these three, faith, hope, and love, they can also be worldly emotions as well. But we want to put the worldly emotions aside. We want to get that out of here. And we want to look at them as actions that Christ has given unto us to demonstrate and reflect our salvation through Him. That's what we're looking at this morning. Faith, hope, and love. You might say you have it. Are you showing the world around you that you have it? So we're going to start with faith. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. The book of Romans, chapter 5. Let's start with faith. And here's what he says in Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 and verses 2. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, that means you're saved. Justified means you're saved. We have peace with God. Now, did y'all think of when you got up this morning, did you have peace with God? If you didn't have complete and total peace of mind this morning, he says you were justified by faith. So that you have said, yes, I am saved. I have accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's what it means justified is. So that means, yes, you do have peace of mind. You just kind of put it aside and let something else come in there. But he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our salvation came from, was through Christ. And he says, by whom also we have access by our faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're rejoicing in the confidence of that hope that God has given unto us. Once you are saved, now you have everything to look forward to. We have, as we live here upon this earth, we look forward to serving God. We look forward to the blessings of God. We look forward to eternal life. We look forward to sharing that with everybody. This is our hope. This is our confidence. So our faith in Christ is what made us right with God. So this means that we now have a restored, peaceful relationship with God. Nothing can alter that. Nothing can hinder that unless we allow things to come in to do that in our life. So this is a declaration. We're declaring to the world around us, we're declaring this new life that we have in Christ. It came through His sacrifice, and now, because we are justified in Christ, we are no longer under condemnation. We are no longer afraid of being separated eternally from God. So this allows us to always look forward, always look to the things that God has in store for us in our life. Now, as we look forward, are there going to be things that are going that Satan's going to throw in there? Sure, these things are going to help us to make our faith grow. They're going to help us to strengthen us, to give us spiritual maturity. That's why when you go over into the sixth chapter of Ephesians, he talks about the whole armor of God. It's all on the front, because we're always going forward. We're always looking forward. This is how we are going to fight our battles, is by going forward. So that means that our security is in front of us. It's where we're going. It's what we're doing in the Lord. Therefore, it's our faith that is leading us to our hope. So through the faith that we have, God is leading us to the hope that He has given us. He said it's an undeserved favor, but He's given it to us anyhow, so that this faith that we say, I am living in Christ. Every day when you get up, it should be a day that you get up and say, I'm alive, but I'm alive in Christ. I don't care if I'm alive in the world, but I do care that I am alive in Christ while I'm living in the world. This is our claim to our salvation. So we're living in the light of things that have yet to take place. Now, did you understand that? Things that God has in store for us, we are confident, we have that hope, and that's what we're living towards. We're moving forward. We're living in the light of the things that have not yet taken place in our life, things that God has planned for my future, things that God has planned for your future, things that you and I cannot see yet, but God has promised that He's going to bring them into our being. This is what our hope is all about. This is what God wants for us in our life. So let's move on to talking about that hope just for a minute. If you just jump right on over with me in Romans to chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. Romans 8, 24 and 25. Here's what he says. For we are saved by what? Hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So that's why we're looking forward to these things that God's going to do for us. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So that means when we were saved, we were saved into a state of eternal hope, into a state of a future hope, an unseen hope, but a hope that requires patient endurance on our part. So true hope looks forward to what we have yet to see. So it says we wait. We're waiting on the Holy Spirit. And the reason that we wait is because God is helping us to grow and to mature. This is what this waiting process is all about. It's our sanctification process. God can't give us what He wants for us to do if we're not ready to do it yet. So He has to get us ready. He has to teach us. We've got to learn. So all of these days, these last week or 2 weeks or however it's been that we've been sitting at home, we've been snowed in, we have nothing to do. You have a Bible, you're waiting. He's given us this. This is an opportunity to get into the Word of God. This is an opportunity to study and fellowship in the gospel through the Holy Spirit with one another in the body of Christ. We have to see that as that opportunity. So we wait, and He says we wait with patience, we wait with endurance, we wait with perseverance, and we do this by relying upon the Spirit of God, by relying upon the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that means that through our hope, God is encouraging us. He's encouraging us to endure these things that are going on. He wants us to see our promised future. Get your eyes off of what is going on right now, right here and right now in the world, and get our eyes upon our future with God. So we know that waiting prepares us. So we're waiting, we're being prepared for the things to come, for the things that God has in store for us in our life in Him. But if we hope for what we see not, then we, with patience, we wait for it. And I know you're sitting at home saying, I have no patience left. How many of us have said, I'm ready for winter to be over. I'm ready for all this to be gone. I'm ready for this. I'm ready for that. And God's saying, well, I'll just keep giving you a little bit more until you see why I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you as a time to prepare, to gain this patience, to be strengthened through my word, that this time alone to teach us to endure, to know what that hope is all about. Lastly, let's talk a moment about love. If you'll go with me to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Let's just back up. Let's read a few more verses here this morning. 1 John chapter 4. Let's back up to verse 11. Here's what he says. Listen to this. Pay attention to this. This is talking about our eternal atonement with God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is what? It is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him. He dwells in us because He hath given us His Spirit, this Holy Spirit. He said, I gave this to you. When you accepted me, my Holy Spirit now indwells, it lives within you. So here's what he says. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So this is our hope. Through the Savior of the world that God has sent unto us. And he says, and we have known and believed, pay attention to this, we have known and we believe the love that God hath for us. We've experienced it firsthand. We've been saved, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We experienced that. We should continue to experience that every day in our life. So that's what he says. We have known, we have believed the love that God hath to us, and we know that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. And what else? God dwells in him. Now, just jump right on down to the verse 18. He says, here, pay attention to this. There is what? Say this with me. I know you're not here, but you're out. Say this. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. So whatever, when you got up this morning, whatever worldly fear that Satan put in front of you, he said, tells you right here, there is no fear in love. If we truly love God, if we truly trust in the Lord, you go back in the book of Proverbs, you ought to memorize this verse and say it every day. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct our paths. There is no fear in love. But he says, perfect love casteth out fear. Why do you think fear is one of the most important of the three? Because perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfected in love. So he says we love him because he first loved us. The truth of our life as a believer involves knowing and trusting completely in the love of God. That is what it is truly all about. So he says, when we begin to live in that love, when we begin to abide in that love, when we begin to abide in his presence, then we allow that divine love to be the evidence of our faith in him. All right? And this isn't a worldly love. It isn't a worldly emotion. When you tell people within your family life or your family, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's not a worldly love. This is a spiritual love. So when you tell your husband or your wife or your kids or your grandkids or those around you, when you tell them how much you love them, it should be with God's spiritual love. And it's a love that when you say it, they know that you have a desire for them, not just worldly desire, that it's a connection of a worldly love, but they see the desire that you have for them spiritually in their life, that they might grow. And if they're not seeing that, you're not giving them the right kind of love. People need to understand that when we show forth love, it's an eternal love that has concern for the soul. Not just for the body, but for the soul. So when you tell somebody they love you, that you love them, they ought to be able to look into your eyes, and they should see that this person truly is concerned about my eternal life. Not just my life here upon this earth, but they're concerned about my eternal life with God. So this is a love that demonstrates a reality. So is reality setting in? Because it signifies a spiritual maturity, a spiritual growth that we got going on in our life. It's an intimate relationship with God. When you tell somebody that you love them, it's really you're telling them God loves them, and they can see that through our relationship with God. So that means we are expressing God's love unto others. It's God's love. It's nothing that we have. It's something that God is doing through us. So that means it's an expectation from God that we act upon. And God expects us to act upon it. If we claim to be Christian, then God expects us to act like believers. He expects us to act upon the love that he has given unto us. So since that love originates from God, then that means that we are walking with him, then that love comes from God through us to others, and we should demonstrate it just like God wants it to demonstrate it, because God's love is perfected every day in the confidence that we have in him. And we should be showing others what that love is truly all about. So we're going to use now pay attention to this, where God has given us such a great capacity to understand and to do the things that he would have us to do in our life. So now we're going to demonstrate that. We're going to show this capacity of love that we have. And we're going to show it with sincerity, and we're going to show it through the works and the deeds that he has given unto us to do. Those being a servant, we have to be willing to live a life in the fullness of God's love, and we do and are willing to do that because it says he first loved us. This is what God's love is truly all about. In the book of Colossians, let's go to Colossians just for a moment. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And here's what he says. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So you understand what that means? You got three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But he said Christ came, was born, physical body, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It means because of what he done for us in verse 10, it says, ye are complete in him because of that, which is the head of all principality and all power. So what he's talking about here that is we find the fullness of our joy through Christ because he's the one that paid our sin debt. Because when he came, he embodied the fullness of God. He came, he took upon our sin debt. He was crucified on the cross so that we no longer have to be separated from God. So this signifies, when we accept that, this signifies that God, through Christ, gave us this authority and this power to be able to show unto others these characteristics that we're talking about, the characteristics of faith and hope and love. So as he done, this provides us with a firm foundation to stand on in our life as a believer, in our life in Christ. And not only does it give us a firm foundation to stand on, but it gives us purpose. So that means we are equipped now with this purpose, that we have everything necessary to have an intimate relationship with all three, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and to carry that relationship on to those that God brings us in contact with in the world. So that means that we don't attempt to earn God's favor. We attempt to allow God to work through us his favor. So we have this intimate relationship with him. We're resting securely within his grace and his mercy, and we do this through obedience, our obedience to the word of God. So this is our assurance. The assurance of our salvation is based upon our confidence of our obedience in the word of God. So this is how we become complete in God. Through prayer, through our obedience to his word. And there's not one thing in this world, there is no one in this world that can take this away from us. Now, did you hear that? But nothing can take this away from us. So the next time you're feeling sorry for yourself, the next time something comes up against you, the next time there's a trial, a tribulation, a burden, a sorrow, something, that cannot take these things away from us. We might allow it to hinder it in our life. It can't take it away. So use that power and that authority that God has given unto you to make sure that does not hinder this relationship with God that God has with us in our life. This is what God wants for us. Nothing can take this away from us. So as believers now, so are we starting to understand? We're starting to get a little bit of glimpse. We're starting to get a little bit of understanding of what it means to be complete in God. It means that I have hope, that I have faith, that I have love, that all of these things that God has given to me. So now that overcomes the doubt and the fear in my life. Reality is starting to set in. You know, people will look around and say, oh, reality's starting to set in. But what they're doing is they're allowing worldly burden to begin to weigh them down. That's the reality they're talking about. The reality that I'm talking about is the reality where we gave all that to God. We casted all of our care upon God. Now the reality of our understanding of our salvation is starting to set in. We don't have to pay attention to the worldly reality because we have the reality that God has given to us, that we are complete in God, and we have no doubt now about what our eternal salvation means to us. And it means that I can go through my life. Let me go back to 1 Corinthians real quick, 13:13. It means that I can go through my life knowing that now abideth in my life faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is the love. Now, the other thing that I'm sure of now is that my fellowship in the gospel, even though nobody's here with me today, I have fellowship with all of you that are out there listening through the gospel of Christ. And I'm confident now that this work that God has given me to do, He'll continue to do it in my life. He'll continue to perform it in my life. And He'll continue to allow me to experience His faith, His hope, and His love, so that I'm always seeing the reality of what my eternal salvation is truly all about. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this beautiful day that You've given us. Lord, we just thank You and praise You for touching the hearts and the lives of all of those that have fellowship together with us this morning through Your word by the Holy Spirit, touching the hearts and the lives of all those within the body of Christ, Lord, so that we might see the reality of the hope of our eternal life with You. And we just pray this day, Lord, when things in our life begin to weigh us or burden us down, Lord, that we know You'll take care of those things, Heavenly Father. We can cast all of our cares upon You, for we now know that You care for us because we're complete in You through our salvation. So help us, Lord, as we go throughout the days of our lives to allow our light to shine, so that others may see Your good works within each and every one of us. Lord, when we look to somebody and tell them we love them, we want them to see it's a love for their eternal satisfaction in life with You. And help us, Lord, as we go through the days of our lives to express that love unto others. Help us to understand faith, hope, and love, and to always be found on those things that are pleasing unto You. Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help me, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray. And amen.